Genesis 15, 5 to 10. In this chapter, chapter 15 of Genesis, we have seen several things. We've seen how God has come to Abraham and offered him comfort. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. God offering comfort, taking away Abram's fear. And we need God's comfort, brother and sister. And he knows we're afraid, and he comes to us as he did to Abram. Again, we've seen in this chapter, throughout the chapter, what I've called spiritual life. What do I mean by that? Communion between God and man. Abram, the friend of God. God talking to him. Abraham talking to God. They're discussing, they're arguing, God commanding, promising. Abraham believing and acting upon it, and looking to God and trusting. They have communion together. And this is the spiritual life. This is what we enjoy with God, brothers and sisters. Through his word, by his spirit, we commune with God, and he communes with us. We've also seen that in this chapter we have another statement, a restatement, of the glorious covenant that God made with Abram. That major covenant. We've seen the covenant with Noah, but this chapter reminds us again that the covenant with Abraham, here is God making it. Again, we have that in this chapter. And then in verse 6, we have what on the surface seems just a small statement, Abraham believed the Lord and so on. But in fact, as the New Testament shows us, this is a massive statement about justification by faith. All that we have seen in Genesis 15. But there's one further thing that I want to speak of. I mean, I've hinted at it in passing, even in this discourse already. But I want to make a few more remarks on it. It'd be a short discourse, but it's a very important point. Verse 6 is justification by faith. But I believe verses 5 to 10 tell us something else as well. It's obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. You see, Abraham believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness. This is justification by faith. In our equivalent, in the New Covenant, in these days in the Gospel, we hear the Gospel, we hear of Christ, we trust him, and we are justified. We are washed from our sins in his blood, and we are right with God. Is that the end of the story? No, that's just the beginning of the story. That's an instantaneous, one-off conversion, a dramatic experience. I don't mean dramatic circumstances, but nevertheless, the great turning point in our life. It's a crisis. I don't mean attended with all sorts of devastating things, but this is the most devastating of all, that we are taken out of Adam and brought into Christ. We pass from death to life, regenerated, converted to God. But that's not the end. That's only the beginning. The rest of our life is a living out of this gospel. If that is called justification by faith, as it is, then the rest of our life is progressive sanctification. Instantaneous, one-off justification is always followed by and connected with, intimately connected with, the Bible shows this plain as a pikestaff. Justification is always linked, inevitably, with progressive sanctification. Now, what do I see here in Genesis 15? Well, just as the justification is only there, as it were, in embryo, but it's there in verse 6, so I see the principles of this walk of faith, this life of growing in grace, this life of pleasing God. Explain, right, verse 5. God took Abram outside, and he said, look up, count the stars, go on, and so on. It's all to do with the covenant. It's all to do with the promise. Verse 6 says, Abraham believed the Lord. I deduce from that he must have looked up. He must have said, well, there it is. And he went on in that strength. Well, you can call it what you like, but I call it obedience. He trusts the promise. It's the obedience of faith. He obeys the command. Take verse 9. So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, and so on. It's a mysterious passage. It's something to do with the covenant, sealing it, and so on. I don't understand it. But it's there. Anyway, God commanded him. In verse 10, quite says quite simply, Abraham brought all these to him and did what he had to do. Well, it's nothing, is it? Oh, yes, it is. It is obedience. This man is justified by faith. But he's obedient to God in his commandment. My friend, the Christian life is not come to Jesus when you're 21 and that's the end of it. You come to Jesus when you're 21 or 12 or whatever it is. You come to Jesus and the rest of your days, the next 10, 15, 20, 30, 50, 80 years, whatever it might be, lived out in obedience to God in his word. Read John chapter 14 from verse 15 on, say, if you love me, says Jesus, you'll obey my commands. If you don't obey my commands, you don't love me. You can't say you love me and don't obey my commands. Loving me and obedience to me come to the same thing. They're the opposite faces of the same coin. We obey God in his commands. Where do we find the commands? 2 Timothy 3, 15 and 16. All scripture, especially for us in the new covenant, all scripture from Genesis to Revelation as nuanced by Christ and by his apostles. But it's not only in the new covenant, by the word of God that we have the commandments. We also have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to teach us, to inform us, to give us this new heart, new mind, this new will, disposition to serve God. And so we have an inward law and the outward law of Scripture. And this makes up the law of Christ. As Mary said at the wedding feast in John 2, verse 5, whatever he says to you, do it. And that's the believer all over. And that's what I see in Abraham's life here. Very simply, just the elements of it. But they're telling. This man believes God and obeys him. Do you, my friend? Unbeliever, God offers you invitations in the gospel. Come to me and I will save you, says Jesus. He commanded you in the gospel to repent. He invites you. He urges you. He pleads with you. He exhorts you. I go so far as to say in the words of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, he begs you. But you must obey. You're not saved because you obey, but you're only brought to Christ by obeying his command and trusting his promise and trusting him, relying upon Christ himself. But once you've come, then the word of God is your guide. It governs your thinking, your feeling, your emotions, your attitude, your actions, your experience. You're a man under authority, a woman under authority, the word of God by the Spirit of God. Brother and sister, we have to live a life of obedience. We have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to be obedient unto him. Are you one of these Christians, these so-called carnal Christians? They don't exist. That's a rebuke in that passage in Corinthians. Who thinks you can come to Jesus and be justified and leave sanctification? No, no. If you are justified, you must be and you will be progressively sanctified by obedience to God and his word. I see all that in Genesis 15. Yes, in seed form, in embryo form. The remarkable thing is how early it comes in the Bible. This is gospel teaching. May it not just stay in Genesis 15 or in John 14 or wherever else. May it come into our lives. May we prove, Romans 6, that we are the slaves of Christ by being obedient to him. May we prove, Romans 7, that we are married to Christ by acting as dutiful wives, as it were, bearing fruit to God, even progressive sanctification to the glory of God in Christ. May God bless Genesis 15 to us all. Amen.